Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come. I am your host, Sean Kane. We are working on a Tuesday main slate here, full 15 games all across Major League Baseball tonight on the main slate. That commences at 7 p.m. Crazy. So much going on this slate. Chris Sale, Yankees are back home. Cleveland is just absolutely rolling right now, and it's really very, very difficult to sort out the kind of the bottom half of the pitching tier. It's hard to sort out any of these pieces from the pitching tier. I'm really, really going to have to continue to dive in and dive deep and figure out what makes sense as far as actually finding a, you know, high quality pitching. And last night, another tilting night for pitchers. Kershaw, of course, 10 Ks. If I had told you guys that Kershaw was going to get 10 Ks, the whole world would have rostered him. Of course, he does give up 4 home runs to go with that. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's been the Achilles heel. And we were talking about it on a Twitter. Why not stack against him? Or why not play some one-offs against him? Some power upside, because he's shown that he can get taken yard. Really interesting slate last night. Mixed results for me. My Kluber lines. It was great. Kevin Roth, shout out to Kevin Roth. I know he doesn't listen to the show, but shout out to Kevin Roth, man. He was like, have faith, Baltimore Cleveland is good to go. It's like, all right. Sure enough, that was a game changer. That was excellent. I was really, really pleased with that. Went with Kluber over Lester, who, you know, pitched a pretty solid real life baseball game, John Lester did, but just not enough for fantasy. You can't give up 2 runs against the Padres and only go 6 innings and not get, you know, it was not a great situation for Johnny Lester. He's been showing his age this season. I think that's part of it. Really, I got to be honest with you. I think that's a real part of it. But let's not waste too much more time. Let's jump into the slate here on Wednesday. We got 15 games to talk about, so let's see what Vegas has to say. Let's take a look at the weather and get a good first look at this slate. All right, first game of the night in New York, in the Bronx. The Angels are coming back across the country. 10 runs projected here as Michael Pineda pitches up against Parker Bridwell. I've been calling him Birdwell, but that's not it. It's Parker Bridwell. This poor kid. This poor guy. This is his second full start of the season. Bridwell is going to get the Yankees at home, who are the hardest hitting team in baseball against righties at Yankee Stadium. The wind is blowing out at 14 miles per hour to dead center left. And Vegas is projecting the Yankees to score 6.4 runs. And there's a reason for it. Because they're going to. Bridwell gives up massive amounts of hard contact. So I am in love with the Yankees today. The difficult thing is fitting in Yankees bats with Chris Sale is proving to be a significant challenge. St. Louis versus Philadelphia. This is another high total here. 9.5 runs in Philly here. Cardinals favored, over five runs projected for them. Mike Leake going up against Jeremy Hellickson. Hellickson obviously really struggling this season, cannot strike anyone out. And the Cardinals are rolling. We saw that offense really start to click. Wind blowing out to right field, 84 degrees, really, really nice night to be in a small ballpark like Citizens. So certainly have some interest in the Cardinals. Now, as the Phillies go, I mean, all it is for me is Odubel Herrera, lefty versus Mike Leake. Leake has certainly struggled, but limiting hard contact, great ground ball rate against a difficult offense that just struggles right now. You got to think that Leake is going to be able to right the ship and get a decent outing here with some run support. Cleveland, Baltimore, 86 degrees, wind blowing straight out to center, 7 miles per hour. Not, you know, anything terribly significant, but a nice night in Baltimore, and we've seen that ball is just popping there in Baltimore. So 11 runs projected here as the Indians get six of those, and the Orioles are getting five against Josh Tomlin, which is interesting. You know, this offense has been lackluster at best, but I guess Vegas really doesn't like Tomlin's stuff against the O's here. So interesting spot for sure. For Cleveland bats, they're the obvious choice. I don't know necessarily that I'd go to the O's here. I just don't know what this offense can do right now. Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, nine runs projected in the Trop. Rays are favored as they go up against Amir Garrett. Makes sense. Amir Garrett giving up one of the highest hard contact rates on the slate, one of the highest home runs per nine on the slate. The difficulty is the Rays versus lefties have just been, they've been difficult to get a read on. They hit the ball hard, but they are pretty below average on the season. Well, not very that below average. 313 team wOBA against them with a 25% strikeout rate. Now we've seen, we've seen them in a couple outings get toasted by lefties. It just Amir Garrett, though, way too much hard contact, but we have seen him get, deep in a couple games and get some strikeouts. So it's kind of an interesting situation. I mean, just his last game against San Diego, in Petco, he went for 40 points, six innings, got the quality start, and struck out eight. You know, and the Rays, I think, are an interesting comp in that respect. The strikeout rate is similar in the offense, but a hard hitting offense, but a team that also strikes out a ton. The question is the Rays obviously are a little bit more competent than the Padres. I don't know. Nats, Marlins, nine runs projected here as Gio Gonzalez goes up against Edinson Volquez. This game turned out to be a real barn burner last night, man. Lots of runs being put up, and I'm gonna just come out and say it. I'm an idiot. I've been sleeping on the Nationals lately just because they've been so damn expensive. It's been very hard to play them, but gosh, these numbers against lefties, these numbers against righties are just too good to ignore. And I think that any night of the week, I'm going to be completely honest with you, any night of the week, the Nationals, a national stack is in play, or Nationals exposure is in play, especially now that we have Jason Worth out of the lineup when getting this rotation between Goodwin and Rayburn flopping between, in the platoon splits there. Like tonight, you could easily go to, Goodwin and Murphy, for example, the two and the five. Those are two pretty inexpensive bats in that lineup at 4K. Zimmerman is 3.9. We have to continue to try to get exposure to the Nationals just because they're such a high-powered offense. And honestly, I'm going to continue to say this about the Marlins. I think the Marlins are highly stackable on a regular basis, but they are very expensive as well. Very expensive, but against Gio Gonzalez, I don't really know what to make of them because their numbers against lefties have been, pretty average, pretty mediocre. And Gio has pitched some gems recently, so it's an interesting spot. Giants, Braves, 9.5 runs projected here. Lots of really, really bad rain in the forecast, though, for this one. Matt Moore going up against Tulio Teheran. This is an interesting spot for both teams, really. Both of these pitchers, very, very bad. I think this is a game stack candidate if it plays. You guys aren't going to hear me talk about it necessarily because, one, both of these offenses are pretty bad against this handedness of pitcher. Two, there's like 90% chance of rain throughout the game. So, I don't think that we're stacking this one unless we get the all clear from Kevin Roth, and we'll know more later this afternoon. Pittsburgh versus Milwaukee, 9.5 runs projected here. Chad Kuhl versus Zach Davies. I watched some of this game last night. It was like watching paint dry. Chad Kuhl, struggles mightily against lefties. We know that. But Vegas really isn't giving the Brewers any love in this one. Only a 109 favorite, Zach Davies. And I guess Zach Davies is struggling. That's part of it. You know, he's kind of getting bopped around. The thing is the Pittsburgh not that great against, you know, righties, but we can go back to the lefties on both sides here, just like we did last night. You know, Fraser, Polanco, Bell, Sogard, Thames, Shaw, and it's way more expensive to stack the Brewers than it is to stack the Pirates. But these teams, you know, they know each other. I don't know necessarily, you know, that I don't know how much interest I have after watching this game last night. You kind of see two offenses that come and go, come and go, come and go. I don't really know what to make of it. Toronto, Texas, 11 runs projected here as Frankie Liriano goes up against Nick Martinez. Toronto favored in this one, 91 degrees down there in Arlington. And, you know, the game last night ultimately did not disappoint. Ball wasn't really leaving the yard for Texas, but certainly this weather down there is really, really, really conducive to hitting. There's continues to be, you know, double digit runs every single night being put up there in Arlington. So you keep looking, we can keep looking at this one. You know, I mean, I think we look at the Jays versus Martinez, who, you know, he's kind of tilting, to be honest with you. His numbers are pretty bad, but, he goes six innings against the Astros last time out. We stacked against him. He just doesn't allow a lot of damage. He falls in that Mike Pelfrey category. Doesn't strike anybody out. Doesn't really allow a lot of damage. It's just kind of, it's challenging. But that said, he does allow the home run ball, and you know, we know the Blue Jays can hit it out. So can certainly look back to the Jays tonight in this one. Padres, Cubs, rain here, wind, it's kind of nasty weather in Chicago, 70 degrees, rainy, misty. So it'll probably play, but it's not a great environment. Julius Chacin going up against Mike Montgomery. The Cubbies, you know, I don't think that they're really that stackable. And Chacin with this ground ball rate, you know, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of him. He has had some interesting starts here and there, some really good ones and some really, really bad ones. Be interested to see if Rizzo plays this game after that collision at home plate with Austin Hedges. If he gets a suspension or something like that, because I mean, it was clearly like he went out of his way to get to Hedges. Hedges gave him the plate. Hedges was going to reach across for the tag. He went across the plate to get to Hedges. It's just unnecessary, completely unnecessary, and a hell of a play by Austin Hedges to hold on to that ball. I mean, that's the ultimate revenge, right? You go, you truck me, come after me like this, and I get you out anyway at home and in the inning. That was big time. White Sox Twins, 9.5 runs projected here. Derek Holland versus Ervin Santana. I find this game highly stackable. I think it's a leverage spot. Twins righties versus Holland, definitely in play here. We know that they have some hard hitters in this lineup against righties, you know, against lefties, Dozier and Sano specifically. The White Sox against a righty. Yeah, I'm saying it. Look at what they did in Toronto. They really can hit, man. They can really hit. They hit Stroman. They hit who's the other righty up there in Toronto? I don't know. But they are really hitting righties, so it's certainly something to pay attention to. Red Sox Royals, 8.5 runs projected here, and Chris Sale getting Matthew Strom. He is a heavy 200 favorite in this one. We'll talk about Chris Sale. It's obviously a great spot, but, you know, it's 91 degrees in Kansas City, so certainly interesting. I find it interesting that they like the Red Sox for 5 runs in this one. Strom had a nice start for his first outing. He really did. He seems like the kid's got some really good stuff. Pitch count, but he had a really nice outing against Los Angeles. I just don't know necessarily that this is the place to start him against the Red Sox, who are our hard-hitting team against right-handed, or excuse me, against left-handed pitching. Coors, baby, 11 runs projected here, and it's the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and this one is just about a pick'em with Greinke versus Marquez. Oof, and actually, Colorado's favored just by a touch. This whole series is going to be a thing. The way the Rockies have been stacking up the runs, the way the Diamondbacks just are a hard hit machine, you know, you gotta look at these teams here. Just as far as price checks, as far as, you know, guys that are affordable, it's the Arizona side that's much more affordable in this situation. You know, and we're not talking about the classics, the Goldies and the Lambs of the world, but guys like Gregor Blanco are inexpensive, Brandon Drury inexpensive, Chris Owings is 3.8, and on the Colorado side, Cargo is 3.8. I don't know though. You know, that's about it. You've got Charlie Blackmon at 5K, Goldie at 5.3, Jake Lamb at 4.7, Arenado at 4.9. So very, very difficult to stack these up unless you are just wholly and completely punting your pitcher position, which I imagine some folks will do in GPPs tonight because it is 90 degrees in Colorado. That is a real thing, man, and we have seen that pay off in certain situations. Astros Athletics, 9 runs projected here in the Oakland Coliseum. Francis Marte is going up against Sonny Gray, and Marte a slight favorite here in this one. He had a nice outing his first start. He really did, and I believe it was against Texas. Yeah, he went for 39 fantasy points. I mean, they have some really nice young arms in this Houston system. Yeah, 5 innings against Texas, 7 Ks. This kid throws the ball really hard. You know, certainly is an interesting spot here. We saw Peacock get, you know, just do work last night. He really did. And after the Yankees rotation got blown up, I was cautious, but man, he really exposed them. And I have some interest in Marte? I do. I certainly do. Sonny Gray, God, I wish I could start him here. I just can't see it. If there's one team that's just as good against right-handers as the Yankees, it is the Astros. And, you know, when you're playing a guy like Sonny Gray, you want to see if you can get 40, 30, 35, 40 points out of him. It just doesn't feel like the spot that you're going to get 35 or 40 points out of him. Mets Dodgers, 8.5 runs projected here as Brandon McCarthy, a heavy, heavy favorite against Robert Selman. You know, and once again, man, we got to look at the Dodgers because God, and you know, I feel bad because yesterday, for a good portion of the day in my batter's stacks, I had the Dodgers in my notes. Sometimes I feel like I give out too much information, and so I deleted the Dodgers. Ultimately, I had a lineup with Justin Turner and Corey Seager in it, and Justin Turner just raked yesterday, 44 fantasy points. Cody Bellinger, another double dong. I mean, this team is just dangerous. Especially at home. I mean, and Gisellman under, you know, a mediocre right-hander he's had a couple nice games, but, you know, he just is coming off a game with Washington where he got hit for 11 times across 5 innings, gave up 2 dingers, and only struck out 3. You know, I mean, This is not a good situation going into Yankee Stadium here for him. So we could certainly look at the Dodgers again in this situation, and Vegas is telling us to do so. Now, Brandon McCarthy, I don't mind Brandon McCarthy, and I think that he is in an interesting spot. You know, he certainly is in a better spot than he was against Cleveland. They just don't strike out, and they were at home. You know, but McCarthy also offers, I think he offers limited upside. He is a low strikeout guy. He doesn't get a long leash too deep into games. So I don't know how much interest I actually have in Brandon McCarthy, especially against a team that proved they're hard hitting. I mean, the Mets are going to take you. They're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if they can't hit it out of the ballpark, then, you know, they're going to struggle. But when they do, they can hit four home runs like they did last night. Tigers Mariners, 9 runs projected here. Jordan Zimmermann versus Ariel Miranda. Ariel Miranda is favored in this one, which is interesting to me. I feel like this line is going to move towards the Tigers. You know, the Tigers against lefties, they just mash. And Miranda has a fly ball problem, but Miranda's been good in his last couple starts. That's the thing. He's pitched very well in a couple starts, with the exception of the Minnesota start, I believe. Yeah, he just got hit by Minnesota. So, you know, if there's a team that's going to get to you, it's some of these righties, man. And Miranda could really struggle in this situation. But pitched a gem against Tampa Bay. Lefties against Tampa Bay, it's a thing. I don't know what to say, guys. It is. It's a thing. All right, that is it for us. 15 games, like I said, absolute monster night. So we have got to jump in and try to figure out what's going on with this slate. All right. Who do you love? All right. Starting with the arms. There's a lot going on here. Okay. Chris Sale obviously is the most talented pitcher on the slate. 35% K rate, 16% swing strike rate. Yes, he's allowing a little bit higher rate of line drives and fly ball lately. Yes, we haven't seen double digit K back-to-back-to-back, all, you know, like we were. We know the talent is there, though. He's only allowing 28% hard contact, xFIP Sierra of 2.6. The thing about it is the matchup with Kansas City is deceiving, okay? On the season, they're bad. You know, this team is not very good. On the season against left-handed pitching, they are not that good. In fact, their WRC plus against lefties on the season, 83. Okay, their hard contact rate against lefties on the season is 30%, very average, okay? However, and I have been talking about this, right? In the last 14 days, for example, they have gone up to a hard contact rate of 35%, all right? They are hitting the ball, and they own the league's highest WRC+. Now, I recognize that WRC+ is not a stat that normalizes within a 14-day span, but I'm using it to illustrate the fact that with a 17% strikeout rate, that's really low, and a WOBA of 501, these guys are hitting the hell out of the ball. Now, Kauffman is not a great place to hit the baseball. We saw it last night. It really isn't. It's just massive. And in fact, it's the best ballpark on the slate for pitchers. If we look at the park grade, that, you know, may get undercut by the fact that it's one of the hotter ballparks out there tonight. 91 degrees is a pretty nice temperature to be a hitter. You know, I just don't necessarily see. I don't know if I see Chris Sale doing what he did against Philadelphia. And I think that that's fair. Do I see him getting a quality start here? Yeah, I absolutely do. But I also see, you know, a possible dinger here or there. And I probably am going to guess less than 10 Ks. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think Chris Sale probably limits himself to 7 or 8 strikeouts in this situation. You got a team in Kansas City that only strikes out 17% of the time. That is not Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia is swinging at 21% of things, and their offense is pretty terrible. Kansas City is just the exact opposite end of the spectrum. They are a high-quality offense right now that isn't striking out. And I recognize that Chris Sale can change that in a heartbeat. But I just want to make sure we couch our expectations in the fact, just like we did last night with Lester, offenses that are trending up, we traditionally, you know, that we spit on, it happened with Biagini. It happened last night with Lester. It could happen again tonight with Chris Sale. We expect the best. We know that in name, this offense isn't necessarily elite. But we have to couch our expectations in the recent trends that these teams are showing us, and Kansas City showing us that they can hit the baseball. Last night was not necessarily a wonderful example of that, but it wasn't the worst example. They still scored. I think if you're pivoting, I think a lot of people are going to look at Michael Pineda, and I don't mind Michael Pineda in this one. We just saw this movie. It ended poorly. 5 runs over 6 innings pitched, only 2 strikeouts against the Angels. The Angels are, they're just not going to strike out. That is so tilting. They're not going to swing. But they just might with Pineda at home. His K rate goes up to 28% at home, which is interesting. He's been really great at this season. You know, I mean, his numbers are super impressive. They're all clean. XFIP, Sierra, they all align. You know, hard contact is down. The one exception in his batted ball data that we know is his problem, it's a 20% home run to fly ball rate. And in Yankee Stadium, that is an issue with the wind blowing out. Do you have lefties in this lineup that can hit the home run? Yeah, not many, but Cole Calhoun, Luis Valbuena, those are the guys you worry about. That's it. You know, his splits are clean, but there is a little bit of power. There is a little bit of pop, and the Angels are going to need some pop in order to deal with the fact that they are massive dogs in this road matchup with the Yankees, as they should be. They're only making 30% hard contact against right-handed pitching, average, below average, but they're only striking out at 18% of the time. Okay, this is less than ideal. You got a park that is warm with the wind blowing out. It's a situation where, you know, Pineda could really pitch a gem. But I think I'll pivot, and I don't think I'm going to pivot to Brandon McCarthy. You know, I mentioned you guys heard me talk about McCarthy in this situation. I just don't see the upside there. And I think the Dodgers are, you know, could very, very comfortably say, you know, thanks for your 4 or 5 innings. That's enough. And yank him. I think one possible pivot, and this is, I can't even believe I'm going to say this. I think it's Francisco Liriano. And the reason, you know, I'm so tilted by that is you're looking at Frankie Liriano in a 90 degree weather day in Arlington. But here's what I like. I like the matchup. Okay. I like the matchup with Texas. Texas against left-handed pitching right now. In the last 14 days, very below average, or excuse me, below average offense with a massive 31% strikeout rate. Okay, this team swings the bat. On the season, they strike out to left-handed pitching at a 26% rate, and they have a 74 WRC plus. Now, that hard contact rate for them against lefties, pretty average. 29%, below average, 29%. This isn't necessarily a really, really competent offense against left-handed pitching, to be completely honest with you. And then you look at the top of the lineup, and you're like, ooh, this is really juicy. You know, DeShields has basically zero power against lefties. Sinsoo Chu, not a lot of power against lefties. But then you start to move down the list, and you start to see possibly where the problems can arise, okay? Elvis Andrus doesn't scare me. Adrian Beltre scares me. Healthy Beltre, he's back in the lineup. He is a problem. Carlos Gomez scares me. He's been hitting well. He's been getting on base. He has a good history against Liriano. Luke Roy doesn't really scare me, but we know he can hit. Mike Napoli's ISO numbers are elevated. Robinson Chirinos, massive ISO numbers, because that's all he does is hit home runs off the lefties. So, you know, on the one hand, you kind of love this matchup. On the other hand, you're terrified because it's Frankie Liriano. And Frankie Liriano has 23% K rate, but he matches that with a 13% walk rate. He just spun a gem against the Rays, which makes sense. The Rays swing at everything. And it was, you know, it was a good spot for him. I don't know if I can qualify this as a good spot. That said, it would not surprise me if I saw later tonight that Frankie Liriano has gone seven innings, gotten seven Ks, and only given up two runs. That's not, that's, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. Will he give up some walks? Yeah. Could he get hit so hard that he has to leave the game in the third inning? Yeah, he could. So this is Frankie Liriano. You could have, like, you know, negative 2 points. But I think that there's something here against this Texas team that strikes out quite a bit. A couple other names that I want to talk about, okay? I think Mike Leake is interesting. I hate to say that, because at the same time that you say Mike Leake is interesting, he's a terrible pitcher right now. He's been getting shelled in his last four outings. But the thing that I think is very interesting to me about Mike Leake is the fact that he's got a very low barrel rate, a very, very low, and very, very good batted ball data. Only 27% hard contact, only 50, in a 54% ground ball rate. Philadelphia right now, worst team in baseball against right-handed pitching. They've gotten, you know, an 82 WRC plus on the season, and it's been all the way down at 64 against righties. You've seen mediocre right-handers go up against this team and do really, really good work. And, you know, the fact that Mike Leake is able to induce a lot of ground balls, I think that makes a lot of, you know, that makes him appealing. The thing that's not appealing about Mike Leake is the fact that he's 8K, which is a pretty high price tag to pay for a guy who has just been getting shelled. He gave up, let me look at this. I wrote this down. 17 earned runs. He lost each one of his last four starts. He's allowed 9, 10, 6, 6 hits. You know, he's not walking people. He doesn't do that. He doesn't walk people. But he's given up 5 home runs in his last 4 starts. And he only, you know, really has a ceiling of strikeouts at about 5. So you really have to make sure that you get the quality start and that you get the win. And he hasn't gotten a win in a long time. You know, he was excellent at the beginning of the season, and he just hasn't been that excellent recently. So, I don't know. Mike Leake is not that good of a pitcher, but this is a really good matchup. That's the thing. I want to also mention Amir Garrett. Now, guys, I'm going to start with the fact that Amir Garrett allows basically a slate high WOBA to right-handers at 386, with the left-handers getting him 339 WOBA, all right? And he gives up 40% hard contact. That's just as bad as Matt Moore. 25% home run to fly ball ratio is the worst on the slate. You know, there's not a lot to love about Amir Garrett, especially the fact that he has a 10% walk rate to go with only an 18% strikeout rate. That said, the Rays strike out 27% of the time against left-handers, and even left-handers who have shown a propensity to struggle have pitched some gems against the Rays this season. Ariel Miranda, Frankie Liriano, you know, but at the same time, Frankie Liriano has got shelled by them a couple times as well. So, I don't really know. Jordan Montgomery has pitched really well against them. I don't really know what to make of the Rays, you know, against left-handed pitching. They are, you know, they hit the ball at the 37% hard contact rate. But they also, you know, they pair that with a massive 25% strikeout rate. So how do you deal with that in a situation? I think you don't have to go to Garrett, but I think it's a massive leverage play because people are so scared of him. And they should be. He can be a really, really bad pitcher. He can be a really, really bad pitcher. So, you know, the bottom of this slate is kind of a mess. There's going to be a couple names that I think are popular below this $8,000 tier, and I'm going to go through them. I think McCarthy, he's fine, but you're not going to get more than 30 points, okay? I think that people will probably go to Matt Strom, because he had that really nice outing against LA. I don't know how much I really want to deal with that because the Red Sox just don't strike out. I'm not touching that. You know, I think you could look at Francis Martes. I'd have to dive a little bit deeper there. But other than that, there's really not a lot of really good spots to save at pitcher. There's really not a lot of good spots to save at pitcher. You know, so be careful with your pitching. You know, make sure you're making a high-quality decision because there's a couple pitchers on this slate who are going to get blown up tonight. Which leads us to the bats. We got to figure out where we're going with the bats, and let's start with Coors. Let's talk about Coors. So Coors is going to be a fucking explosion. Like, really, really ridiculous. And I think you can look at Coors, you know, as a very stackable situation. I think, though, the side that I'm much more interested in is Arizona versus Marquez. Not only are they the away team, but they're going back to that positive park situation. You know, they are top three in hard hit rate against righties, whereas Colorado really doesn't have that much of a hard hit rate. They actually don't hit the ball that hard. We've seen them, obviously, you know, play really well, but they just don't hit the ball that hard. So Arizona in this situation is just kind of in a great, great spot. They faced Marquez once this year in Coors already. Goldie hit two dingers off of Marquez. That's what happened in that game. It's 91 degrees. I think you got to fit in some of these pieces. Blanco in the leadoff is in a really nice spot. He's 3,700. Owings and Drury are relatively inexpensive. You can afford them, and if you can get a Peralta, a Goldie, or a Lamb, you know, go for it. You know, Colorado versus Greinke doesn't interest me that much. Greinke is a guy who, you know, he's a location pitcher. He's going to try to keep the ball down. He actually pitched a gem in Coors this year. 7 innings pitched, 7 Ks. Only gave up 1 home run. That was it. 1 solo shot. So I don't love it. So offense is very good, but I don't think I'm going to stack against Greinke in this situation. We know he's been getting hit recently, but I think he knows enough about how to pitch in Chase and in Coors that we can look away from, you know, a guy like Charlie Blackman, who's $5,000. All right. Other than that, it's the Yankees, baby. That's my studs deck. I love this. I love the Yankees. I think people will be on the Yankees. People love playing the Yankees. But this is a really good situation. Bridwell going in there. He's pitched, you know, he pitched 3 nice innings against them in relief the other night in L.A. But he did get hit. He just didn't really get it, give up too much damage. But at Yankee Stadium, with the wind blowing out at 85 degrees, it's just a different thing. This is the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching. Period. And you add that they're at home, you know, they are filthy. They're not the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching. Let me make sure I get this right. Yeah, they are. Yeah, what am I talking about? Yes, they're the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching. That's it. Period. End of conversation. All right. And you add that they're at home, they're even better at home. It's just a great situation for them against a pitcher who gives up a 37% hard contact rate. Last year it was 54%. And, he also has a 28% home run to fly ball ratio. So Bradwell's, going to be in a bad spot. And then you're probably going to get a lot of Angels bullpen, which, fine. But how much Angels bullpen can you use, you know? Sanchez and Judge are the obvious ones, right? They both hit righties. They're just smashing right now. They're ridiculously expensive. I think Holiday, Hicks, and Gardner are really interesting to me. They're all in the mid to upper 3Ks. You know, Castro to a lesser degree. I think he'll get a little bit of lower ownership just because he hasn't been hitting the ball that well. You stack this one any way that you can. You know, you really do. I think that you kind of take the middle of the order maybe to try and differentiate yourself. Maybe some one-offs here and there. In fact, Matt Holliday is going to be my pick to click tonight. I really think Matt Holliday could have a game here. He profiles pretty well against Bridewell. So I'm interested here in the Yanks for sure. They're going to be chalky though. That's no doubt. The question is can you fit them in with Chris Sale? And the answer is not unless you stack the Phillies. Which is a terrible answer. I suppose you could go, you know, to someone like San Francisco or Atlanta, some of those cheaper bats, but they're you know, that's a tough spot. There's not a lot of spots. I mean, you could go to San Diego. I guess you could do Yankees in San Diego, but Mike Montgomery is a ground ball guy. San Diego, yes, they're hitting lefties hard, but you even saw last night in, you know, a good performance by them. They really only put up 2 runs. So do I like San Diego? Yeah, I do. I just don't know how much you can get out of them. And, you know, if you're looking for someone to pair with the Yankees, gosh, I don't know. I mean, they're not that inexpensive. There's not a lot of teams that are that inexpensive out here that you feel comfortable rostering. So you may just kind of do a bunch of random one-offs with your Yankees stack if you want to try to do Chris Sale in the Yankees, which you can. That's a viable strategy. People do it all the time. Take your favorite offense and your favorite pitcher and then fill in the pieces around it with guys who are in leadoff positions or going up against bad pitching. Grout stack. Lower cost, not really even that much of a lower cost, but there are some bats that are inexpensive. I think it's Cleveland. Cleveland against Tillman. I mean, we're streaming against the O's. I said it yesterday. We are streaming pitchers and hitters against the Orioles. And I, you know, Tomlin is interesting. The kid doesn't walk anybody. And he's had some really nice games. Vegas hates him in this situation because he gives up homers. And, you know, that's a good enough reason. He's not Corey Kluber. He's not going to go give you 9 innings. It's just not going to happen. But I love the Cleveland bats. And I think that, you know, maybe you get a quality start and a win out of the kid. I don't know. But it's for $7,500. It's kind of a lot to pay for a so-so situation. You know, Tillman is not good. Okay. He's got one of the highest XFIPs and Sierras on the slate in Cleveland right now against right-handed pitching, 34% hard contact. They are clicking. Jose Ramirez is just obscenely hot right now. He's 4,300, but this dude is ridiculous. 7 multi-hit games in a row. Multiple homers throughout that stretch. So love Jose Ramirez. He's just really expensive. So I think, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall is very appealing to me. Jason Kipnis, very appealing to me. I don't know what the story is with Michael Brantley. I haven't seen him in the lineup. In fact, I feel like maybe he may be injured and I just missed it. And I'm sure somebody is saying, yeah, Sean, he's injured into your headphones right now. He's injured. Yep. Michael Brantley. Oh, he's on paternity. Ah, good for him. Ah, Father's Day, baby. Good for you, Mike. But that's nice because Chisenhall then gets up there and he's cheaper. So enjoy the baby. Stay away. Lonnie Chisenhall, bat third again. So, you know, Kipnis is 33. Chisenhall is 27, which is awesome. And he had a game last night. Lonnie did. Frankie Lindor's been leading off and he is struggling. Last 2 games, he's been hitless. But because the offense has been so productive, he's gotten 11 plate appearances. Now, I don't know what to say. Is 0 for 11 so bad that we can't touch him? Or is that volume respectable enough against a bad pitcher like Tillman that we have to go back to Frankie Lindor and just basically say, like, listen, you're going to hit the ball eventually. You know, I tend to be more on the side of, like, an undervalued cold player like Francisco Lindor, who's in such a good spot. You know, I mean, this is a good situation, you know, and I think, yes, do I prefer Frankie Lindor against lefties? Yeah, I do. You know, he has not been excellent against right-handed pitching, but he doesn't really strike out a lot. So maybe he's, you know, the way that he's going to get out of this slump is just get on base. Just get on base. So I don't mind Frankie Lindor in that leadoff position. You know, it's crazy to me that we could see 11 plate appearances, another 5-plus plate appearances for him, and he wouldn't take advantage of that. Carlos Santana also in an interesting spot. A lot of people are going to gravitate towards E5. E5 is in a great spot here, man. I mean, we know he profiles well against righties. But Santana, I think you have ownership leverage. He's cheap. And people are going to, you know, play E5. The issue is that Santana's been getting pinch hit lately. Which is kind of tilting. He's not getting a full 4 at-bats, so I'm not really sure what that is all about. We'll see. You know, it'd be nice to see him get a full 4 at-bats here, but can you play a guy who's only going to get 2 at-bats and has been kind of hot and cold lately? I'm not really sure. All right, aside from Cleveland, I think the other obvious spot that people are going to go to is St. Louis, and you know, St. Louis is pretty moderately priced. It's really nice against Hellickson. Dude has a 5.8 Sierra, a six XFIP. Like a 6? How are you still a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball with an XFIP of 6? That's just a massive number. It's a terrible number for Hellickson here. He's only got a 10% K rate, a 7% walk rate. He's not allowing a ton of hard contact, but he's allowed a home run in each of his last 5 starts and a minimum of 4 runs, as much as 7 runs in those starts. You know, last time out against St. Louis, they went for 10 hits. They only scored 3 runs against him, but they had multiple hit games for, you know, the classic characters, the Fowlers, the Carpenters, the Yurkos, and Diazes of the world. And those are the 4 that I like anyway. I'm not really doing Stephen Piscotty. He double-donged the other day, but I don't really feel like dealing with that. And Dexter Fowler, he's my favorite Cardinal anyway. And that's just my, you know, Chicago love coming out. 4 straight homers, 4 straight multi-hit games. The kid is on fire. So fuck Matt Carpenter. Give me Dexter Fowler. I'm kidding. I don't mind Matt Carpenter, but at 4K, I don't know. I mean, he's meh. He's good. He's damn good. He's a damn good leadoff batter, and he's a damn good baseball player. I think it's Yurko Fowler for me. Yurko's fucking 2,800. I don't get it. And this is a great spot for him against righty, small ballpark. Love it all. All right. Some pivot stacks, some leverage spots. Here's one that I really like. I really like the White Sox and the Twins game. You have Derek Holland, who is, you know, kind of been like a hard pitcher for us to wrap our head around. But the Twins against left-handers have been pretty solid of late. In fact, top 10 offense against left-handers recently above average hard hit rate against lefties. Yeah, where is it? I'm trying to figure out where their hard hit rate is. Well, no, 25% hard hit rate against lefties. It's not great in the last 14 days. But on the season, you know, this team is pretty solid against left-handed pitching. Middle of the road. But you have some guys who can absolutely mash lefties in Sano and Dozier, right? So, okay, Sano and Dozier, very interested at second and third. Now, the opposite side against Chicago, against Santana, is very interesting for me. I'm betting on 2 things here. One, that the White Sox, people still think that the White Sox against right-handers are no good. Not true. 2, that people think that Santana is still good. Not true. He's a 4.9 Sierra. That's not good. Okay. Now, I like Santana. I think the guy has some good stuff, and if he gets cooking, he can string together a masterful outing. And he's done that a couple times this year. However, in three of his last four starts, he's given up multiple runs and home runs. Two of those three starts were multi-homer games. In two of those three starts, it was more than five runs in those games. Okay, so against a team that's hitting the ball this hard, hitting right-handers in the way that they are, you know, I think that we have to look at the White Sox. I mean, they are currently second in hard hit rate against righties in the last 2 weeks. 41% hard hit rate. It's better than the Red Sox. That's just below the Detroit Tigers. Okay. And it matches their, you know, WRC plus matches there with a 108. You know, they are above average. You know, and I don't use WRC plus as a definitive metric of the quality offense. I use it to identify the trends there, whether or not they're doing, you know, they're playing well. And they are against right-handed pitching. So, I really like the White Sox in this spot, and I don't think people are going to play them. And there's two guys that are very reasonably priced that are hitting the hell out of the ball in Matt Davidson and Avisail Garcia. Those are the two leaders right now in WOBA for the White Sox. Davidson is 2,800 at first base, and Garcia is 3,400 in the outfield. Melky has been smashing righties recently as well. Had numerous multi-hit games in the Toronto series and he had a couple multi-hit games, two multi-hit games. So Melky certainly doing some good work. You know, Abreu, you know, he's dangerous. He's really, really, really dangerous. You know, he has had, you know, he hasn't gone yard in a while. He had one home run in the Toronto game, and he hasn't really gone yard a lot since then. But he can hit the baseball. We know he can have multi-hit games. I think, though, you know, that my favorite guys, like I said, are, you know, Avisail Garcia. I think Todd Frazier's in play, too. I mean, you know, he's not bad. But Avisail Garcia and Matt Davidson are the ones that I'm most interested in this spot. So that's it, you know, and I think that's a very serious leverage play. Now, a couple things that I would be foolish not to talk about. Okay. A couple things that I would be foolish not to talk about. One, the Tigers have a lefty in Ariel Miranda who has a fly ball problem. Two, the Mariners have Jordan Zimmermann, who I think has been getting much better. But the Mariners have one of the best hard hit rates against righty handers on the season. We know that they have lefties that can hit the ball out of the park. They didn't really do a lot of good damage last night in that situation. I really would have wished that they had done more, but I think you can look at this game, the Detroit-Seattle game, for ownership leverage. People aren't going to play it because it's late. You have so many good options on the East Coast. I would stack up pieces from this game for sure. And, you know, it's the Tigers righties, you know, versus left-handers right now. They're really hitting the ball hard. And, you know, JD Martinez destroys left-handed pitching, you know, and I would add, you know, I would add James McCann there. In fact, I love James McCann one off here in this spot. Ian Kinsler, pretty solid. Nick Castellanos, pretty solid, pretty inexpensive. You know, look at the order. It should be Kinsler, Castellanos. Those guys are cheap. 3.2, 2.8. And JD at 3.7 is a good price for JD Martinez. You don't normally see that price on Martinez. And McCann at 2.3, that's a really good price for a guy we know rakes. And versus, you know, Miranda, who, yes, he's figured it out. He's certainly, but this guy has a barrel problem. He got stroked. He got annihilated by Minnesota. We've seen the fly ball problem come back to haunt him before. He can get blown up by righties. So certainly have some interest in the Tigers righties in this spot. And in the Mariners lefties against Zimmerman. But Zimmerman has been kind of better lately. Remember we stacked the Diamondbacks against him? He survived the Diamondbacks. You think he can survive the Mariners? Part of me does. All right, two interesting arms to talk about in the Houston and the Oakland game. Marte is interesting. I got to be honest with you. I have interest in this kid. He can throw heat, you know, and I think that against Oakland, that works. It's the junky breaking stuff that really doesn't work. But this Marte kid can throw some gas. In fact, yeah, I mean, he's mostly just the fastball and the curveball, and the velocity, where is it? Yeah, he's throwing it 95 miles per hour. Chris Davis could hit him, but this kid has gas. He's throwing the ball really hard. I think he's interesting. I want to go to Sonny Gray. I don't know that I can go to Sonny Gray against the Houston Astros. It feels like a mimic spot of what we saw against the Yankees. Good, not good enough. The four-run number is the problem for me, okay? We talked about this yesterday. Four runs is deadly. You're losing 18 points of upside there from your pitcher, and you're likely not going to get the win, so you're up to 22 points of downside for your pitcher. You can't allow more than three runs. You can't. That swing is just too great. And I think that Sonny Gray could get knocked around here, you know, by the Astros. You know, do I like the ballpark. I like Sonny Gray. I don't know. It's just not a great spot. I mean, that's exactly the number that they put up against the A's last night, four runs. I think they could easily do that again, you know, again tonight. So it's a tough spot for the Astros. A tough spot for Sonny Gray against the righty here. Dodgers against Gisellman. Yes, obviously. You know, Utley at 2-3 is a really good price. Seager is priced up. Turner's priced up. Bellinger's priced up. Jock Jams' price has gone up. The one guy whose price is down is Yasmani Grandal, and he rakes. We know he can hit righties, so certainly have some interest in him. Like I said, I want to talk about this Boston-Kansas City game real quick. Matt Strom, kid had a great outing. But Boston does not strike out against right-handed pitching. They just don't. Are against left-handed pitching. I'm going to check their hard hit rate, 33% against lefties this season. They are striking out at only a 15% rate. That's just no good. Like you can't start a young kid against the Red Sox right now. You know, he's just not going to get those free whiffs from them. And on the road, that strikeout rate goes down to 14%. So it's just not a really good spot for Strom. So I'm not touching him. You know, I wish him the best, but I'm not touching him. There's some sneaky spots, so let's identify some of these sneaky spots. And guys, the way that I try to identify some of the sneakier spots in the slate is I'm looking for places that aren't abundantly clear via Vegas or abundantly clear via pitching matchups. Okay, so the Yankees are clear, the Cardinals are clear. I think Cincinnati-Tampa Bay could be a sneaky spot for us. I think that the Nationals-Marlins game could be a sneaky spot here. I think that the Pirates Brewers game and the Toronto Texas game, those are the sneaky spots for me. Okay. Those are the sneaky spots because it's Vegas isn't giving us a very clear direction to go to. So if you want to find some leverage, those are the places where I'm going to go to get leverage because those are the places where Vegas can't make up their mind. And as a result, DFS players won't make up their mind about it. You just execute with confidence. Make sure you pick the guys who profile well against those pitchers and look for ownership. I mean, on a 15-game slate, when it's not obvious because of Vegas, people don't play those spots. They don't go to them. And I think Tigers Seattle game is also a good one. That's what happens, you know, when it's not clear, when it's not obvious that a guy is a gas can, and Vegas shows it by kind of having a pick'em situation, and the spreads are close and the run totals aren't massive. That's when you have leverage, because people don't gravitate towards those games because they don't know what to make of them. They need the extra layer of assistance here. So that is that. Let's jump over to FanDuel and let's go ahead and try to figure out how to build a lineup today. All right, so I got to start with Chris Sale, obviously. My man Chris Sale, 11-7. I need some salary relief. I got to find some inexpensive offense here. So there's two things that I do in that situation, right? I look for leadoff guys. I look for guys who are underpriced. I look for offenses that I want shares of, all that kind of thing. My mind immediately went to second base because I know that there are leadoff bats in the second base situation. Second base is always a difficult position for me to fill, so I'm always looking for guys who are towards the top of the order. Two names come to mind, Chase Utley and Scoot. Scooter has been playing extremely well. In fact, he's homered in back-to-back games. 28 fantasy points, 34 fantasy points. He is in Tampa Bay, multi-hit game. Last night, a double and a dinger. You know, he's batting second. And, you know, in a couple of these games, when he's seen four or more plate appearances, you know, he struggled in the San Diego series, got to be honest with you there. But, you know, four or more plate appearances is a good thing for Scooter Gennett. Not to mention, Alex Cobb throws a cutter. Scooter loves the cutters. He loves those little junky pitches. And hometown narrative, that's where he's from. He's from Sarasota, which is where I grew up. He's from Sarasota, so he's probably got people there down in Tampa Bay. You know, so maybe coach put him up there in the two-hole. He's in the two-hole. I like him a lot. We know he has power upside, but I also like Chase Utley at 2,300. I have no problem with Chase Utley there either as a leadoff bat, but that's a really good cheap source of salary relief. Then I go down to catcher. That's my other spot where I always take salary relief. Guy stands out to me is James McCann. We know he mashes lefties. We know Miranda has a fly ball problem. Boom, James McCann, 2,300. That's a great price for him. Now I'm looking to actually build some normal stacks, some normal pairs. A couple things stand out. One is Jed Yurko's 2,800. Lock him in, pair him with Dexter Fowler, the human torch. Super hot. Love Dexter Fowler in this spot. So Yurko, Fowler, 2-3 right there, boom, or 2-5, depending on what we see from Piscotty, or, you know, 2-4 maybe they are. So Yurko, Fowler, love that pair. They're very inexpensive. And then Lindor and Chisenhall. Lindor, I'm taking a chance. I don't think he's going to continue this slump. I'll put him in there, 3,300 at shortstop. He's a well-priced shortstop in a really good offense. So Chisenhall, 2,700. He is batting up in the four hole last night, I think. And, you know, with Brantley out of the lineup, he put up 22 fantasy points. He is hitting righties very well. He got 6 plate appearances last night, 3 hits. Okay, you know, this guy, does he have power upside? Yes, he does. But, you know, more than anything, he's a volume guy. And I love that price at 2,700. So Frankie Lindor, Lonnie Chisenhall, very inexpensive. Now, the issue is that there's not a lot of, I could go to a guy like Jose Ramirez, excuse me, not Jose Ramirez. I could go to, what's his name? First base, Cleveland, not E5, Carlos Santana. I could go to Carlos Santana at first base. I could, okay? But I don't know that he is going to get that many plate appearances, and I don't love that. I don't know how many plate appearances he's going to get. If you look at his game logs, he's been getting pinch hit and stuff like that, so I'm going to kind of stay away from that. And I go to first base, and, you know, I could try to create a correlation with, with Matt Carpenter, but I don't love Matt Carpenter. I can't afford Joey Votto. So I'm going to go to a new stack I'm going to go to a new pair of batters. And it, for me, it's the leverage play in Matt Davidson. Matt Davidson at 2,900 is just ridiculously cheap. And Avisel Garcia at 3,400 then in the outfield. That's just a really appealing to me. I think they're going to be low owned and they're the best right-handed hit. They hit right-handed pitching the best on the White Sox. Could totally blow up in my face. Could be the leverage spot that I'm dreaming of. They both go yard. I don't know. But this is an interesting lineup to me with Chris Sale at the top. Chris Sale, James McCann, Matt Davidson, Scooter Gennett, Jed Yurko, Frankie Lindor, Dexter Fowler, Lonnie Chisenhall, Avisel Garcia. So what do we have here? We have some chalky spots with St. Louis and Cleveland. Fine. I'll take it. Terrible pitchers. Four chalk batters who have been very good lately, with the exception of Lindor. I'm okay with that. I have my pair of guys who are in extremely high leverage situation in Matt Davidson and Avisel Garcia, so I have a little bit of differentiation if they do well. And I have a cheap second baseman in Scooter Gennett who has power upside, who's been batting second. And against Alex Cobb, we know Alex Cobb has kind of reverse splits. He gives it up to righties a little bit more, but he does pitch profile well. He throws that cutter, which Scooter Gennett likes. So certainly interesting there. Now, if you wanted to try and get, you know, get cute, I think, you know, let's look over to some of our high priced offenses and let's see what we can fit in at pitcher. So let's say, for example, that we went to the Yanks here and we went Gardner, Holiday, and Hicks. Interesting. That's interesting. Aaron Hicks is day to day with an Achilles. So who knows who we're going to see up in that lineup? This could be interesting. We could get some value in the top of this lineup as far as the, the Yankees go. I don't know who you would see up there. Maybe Rob's Ref Snyder or something like that. He's been filling in. But let's say we get a Holiday and Gardner. There's a good starting point there. Interested in Gary. Let's go Starlin Castro here. I know he's going to be up in that order, a little bit lower owned than those really expensive guys. Third base. Obviously, we need... Man. Oof. Actually, let's do this real quick. Sano and my boy Dozier. I like that. I took out Castro and I put in Dozier. Only a $100 difference there. Dozier and Sano, Holiday and Gardner. Okay, and I have shortstop, outfield remaining. So got to make sure I want to try to create correlation here as I move forward with my shortstop. I could go Nick Ahmed. I could go with a guy like Chris Owings. I don't know how much I'm interested in that. I may go back to Frankie Lindor. I may go Eduardo Escobar, who, has been hot recently, and he would be probably up in the lineup with Sano and Dozier. I don't mind him. But let's go to, let's go to those Cleveland bats. Let's get a spot that's, you know, relatively inexpensive, relatively chalky, I suppose is the word for it. Frankie Lindor, and then we'll go back to Chisenhall. We'll see what we can do here with Chisenhall there, 2,700. And now I have a catcher and an outfielder, and I haven't picked my pitcher yet. But let's see what happens when we plug in, you know, I could afford a punt outfielder and a punt catcher with Pineda. I could afford a, you know, if I go down to a Mike Leake, I have a very, you know, very reasonable cost there for an outfielder and a catcher. I could probably get, you know, one more high quality outfielder, you know, and then if you go all the way down to a guy like Amir Garrett, you've got plenty of money at catcher and in the outfield. You know, if I went with, for example, let's see, if I actually did the full four-man Yankee stack with Sanchez, Judge, Holiday, and Gardner, I have $5,000 at pitcher, which would force... I can't do that. So you see how expensive this Yankee stack is. It's insane. But, you know, you just pay down at outfield. I could definitely do that. You know, Holiday, Dozier, Snow, Lindor, Gardner, and Chisenhall, you have a lot of flexibility with pitcher, and you can kind of pick your pitcher somewhere, you know, under 9K, and then fill in some, you know, various different catcher. But that's a lot of power right there. There's a lot of pop in that lineup. Near savings with Francisco Lindor and Lonnie Chisenhall, but a lot of power and a lot of pop in Dozier, Sano, Holiday, and Gardner. There's a lot of home run upside there. So that's it, man. It's going to be a really fun slate. It's going to be crazy out there. I have a feeling the ball is going to be, you're going to be seeing a lot of home runs. Dingers galore. So enjoy it. Play some GPPs. Don't get overexposed, but enjoy it. And good luck in your contest, guys, and we will see you tomorrow.